Hey, Catholic Divas, welcome to Holy Week. We made it. Holy Week is the foundation of our faith. So come on into the podcast and we'll talk all about Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and move into a little bit of Saturday night vigil. It's exciting.
Hey, this is Mama Jane.
And this is Mama Vicky. Welcome to the Cycles and Sanctity podcast.
I'm a Billings Ovulation Method instructor and a certified Catholic mindset coach.
And I'm a labor and delivery nurse, an IBCLC, and a La Leche League leader.
We're here to share with you the beauty and the pain of your cycles.
Have you considered honoring your cycle throughout the journey of your womanhood?
Have you ever considered your cycle as a tool towards your holiness?
Well, sisters, it is. We're excited to walk this journey with you.
So go grab your favorite journal and pen and your hot beverage, and let's do this. Hey, Catholic Divas, welcome back to Cycles and Sanctity. This is Mama Jane.
And this is Mama Vicky.
And today we are finished with Lent because today, as of today, we are entering the three holy days called the Triduum. And what we're going to do with this podcast is we're going to talk about the passion and death of our Lord and how the church celebrates. So I want to encourage you, if this is the first time you've ever heard any of this, first of all, praise God because you are learning something new about your faith. Please, I want to encourage you not to judge yourself or those who have taught you the faith or didn't teach you the faith that you might not know any of this. But what we're going to do is Mama Vicky's going to ask me some questions because this was the game changer for me. I think you all have heard my story of my conversion. I met the Lord very early in my life when I was in seventh grade. I was profoundly touched by his divine love, and I always was searching for him. And it was really experiencing the Triduum and understanding everything that was happening and how the church celebrates and worships during these three holy days that just solidified and made my Catholicism so deeply rooted. But as we've talked, Vicky and I have been talking about, many people have never really even understood any of this or haven't been to the liturgies of that we're going to be talking about. So we're first going to start off with Holy Thursday, which is today. And Holy Thursday, sometimes you've heard it Maundum Thursday because it's the mandate. We have to think about the life of our Lord. What happened on Holy Thursday was the Last Supper, right? And so typically this Mass, it's a Mass and it's in the evening. And what happens is it's very beautiful. It's like I said, if you're hearing this podcast in the morning, I really want to encourage you to make arrangements, change your schedule or whatever, and get to Holy Thursday Mass. So it's a longer Mass. Once we have read the Gospels, then after the homily, what will happen is typically there will be 12 chairs that will be pulled out. And typically the pastor has already chosen 12 members of the congregation to do the washing of the feet. And this is so profound. I know years ago, my husband and I were in marriage prep ministry, and our priest asked us to be two of the 12. And typically what happens is if you have been chosen or you are chosen to be one of the 12, they'll ask you just to like very simple socks and shoes so you can kind of take off. And typically it's only 1 foot that he washes, but it's so beautiful. The priest will take off his vestments and the altar servers will be with them. And he'll have a big, huge bowl with water and towels, and he is on his knees and he's washing your foot and then he kisses your foot. It's just, again, it's like the Last Supper, right? And it's just so, so beautiful. I remember personally, like I just couldn't stop crying because it was just such a beautiful memory of the sacrifice and the service that Christ asks us to, right? And then we have our regular Mass. And then after Mass, what happens is, if you notice, if you go to this Mass, what you'll do is, like, literally, this is one of the things I want to encourage you guys to do, is like really watch the altar, watch who's up there and watch what's happening. Typically, the priest will consecrate twice as many hosts that evening. And what will happen is the Eucharist ministers will take all of those extra hosts over, and depending on the way the church is designed, depends on where they take the extra consecrated hosts, because of course they can't stay in all the tabernacle. And after that, what will happen is then there's this beautiful, beautiful procession. It's called the procession to the altar of the repose. And depending on the church, again, I've been to different churches and they're all different just because of the way they're designed, the way the pastor wants it. Sometimes it's in a hall, sometimes it's in another chapel, sometimes it's still in the church, but he will process with one of the ciborium. It's not like a Eucharistic procession where there's a monstrance, it's this in the ciborium, and he'll take it to this altar of repose where then we sit for those who want to. And basically, it's kind of like a symbol of walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And then we're going to be with him until midnight, and people will come. And I live in the Southwest, and I had heard of this tradition years ago. I think it might be also an Italian tradition also, but one of the little kind of devotional traditions is, it's called the Visit of the Seven Churches. And in the evening of Holy Thursday, what you can do, if you can find seven churches around, and you go to seven different churches honoring the seven sorrows of Our Lady. Now, the other thing, I've only seen this in the Southwest, and I don't know, this would be a really good conversation, I'd love to hear your comments, is in the Southwest, they also have the blessing of the bread. And so literally the altar servers will bring these big, huge baskets of little pieces of bread. I can't even think of the word. Like, they're the size of putting a bratwurst in, is what I keep thinking of. And they're usually in like little plastic bags, and the father will bless them. And then everyone gets their bread. And then that was kind of one of the things when my kids were little and we used to do the seven churches, that was kind of one of their little things that they like to see, is like what kind of bread each of the churches would hand out, you know? But again, it's to remind us of the sweetness of the bread that God gives us.
So if you do this journey of seven churches, which, hey, y'all, don't feel bad, my town does not have seven churches, it's Catholic churches. I'm assuming you're...
Yes, of course, churches. Of course.
You could drive an hour and hit seven churches, but if you're listening in a rural community, you don't have to go state traveling to get to these seven churches. So if you have two in your town or two in your county, you know, that would suffice. So is the bread available all the time? I mean, like, until midnight, these bread is out in a basket?
Yeah, until they run out. And like I said, the only time I've ever seen that tradition is in the Southwest. Like, we've lived in Germany, we've lived in Virginia and New Jersey and Georgia and Kansas. And the only time I've ever seen that is in the Southwest. So I don't really know enough about that little part of the tradition of Holy Thursday, but many people like to go. They get the bread.
Makes sense.
What was the other question you had on Holy Thursday?
I think you covered it all really very well. You know, I grew up, my mom was Catholic, but my dad was not. And so my mom just kind of had to eke. I think you guys know my history too. Like, yeah, she kind of eked this few sacraments in on me. And then when I had my first kid, I knew I was always comfortable in the Catholic Church. And I just knew I wanted to raise my kids Catholic. So that's really when I began my journey of understanding the Mass. And I think sometimes Catholic churches don't, I always felt, this might just be me, but when you go to Catholic church, you're just supposed to know all the things. You're supposed to know all the prayers and the songs. And some churches do Latin, some do different versions. And I have found simply the Missalette will walk you right through it. So that's kind of a fantastic tool if you're either not familiar, which I think a lot of Catholics aren't. We go and we just kind of fumble through the Mass. And I don't want to say that, you know, I have deep reverence for our Lord and deep faith. So I'm not implying that it's a deliberate, like, I don't care thing. It's just what you don't know, you don't know. So fun facts, the Missalette will walk you through quite a bit. But we also need to do a better job of finding, I told my aunt this morning, not every family has an Aunt Jane that you could ask all these questions in a safe place. because I actually have not been to a Holy Thursday Mass, and I'm excited, very excited. We're doing this year. We're doing Holy Thursday and Good Friday and the Saturday Night Vigil. And my husband, who was raised in he went to all Catholic schooling. He only remembers going once or twice. So I'm just saying, Divas, it's not totally out of the question if all of this is new, but I find it very exciting. And like everything, you know, as an adult, you don't stop learning. And that is part of our faith too. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't know this either. I mean, I remember actually, because when I was in college, not that I willfully left the church, but I had been ministered to by Protestants, and I had gotten involved in a campus crusade for Christ. And I remember the Holy Thursday, like I wanted to do something because, like, for me, this is just my own journey. Like, I wanted to walk with the Lord and I wanted to share his experience. And I remember I think it was probably junior or senior year that this ministry did a Monday, Thursday kind of skit or something. And it's kind of like this memory that I have. It was kind of in a theater or something. And they did the Last Supper. And I just remember Judas running out and things like that. And I remember leaving that experience, that event, and going back to my dorm thinking, Lord, what else can I do? What else can I do to be with you? And for me, when I first experienced the Holy Thursday Mass and the adoration, basically that's what you're doing, is you're adoring Christ in the evening at this altar of repose. It's a separate place, but it's, like I said, it's not the Blessed Sacrament in a monstrance typically. And when my kids were little, I mean, I just made the intention, once I first experienced this very early, and I actually think I experienced it in Germany, and we were very blessed because when we were in Germany, we were in a Catholic county. And we've talked about that, of like, when you're in a Catholic country, then a lot of this stuff is just normal. But America wasn't founded on Catholicism. And so that's part of the thing. But I just set that intention. And so I do remember many times, Steve, my husband, was always, you know, we went with the kids, and then we would come home and he would put the kids to bed. And depending on which baby I was breastfeeding, put them to bed. And then I would go back to church because I wanted to sit with our Lord. So it might've been like, typically this Mass will start around 7. It's usually kind of traditional. And then it's usually done by like 9, because like I said, it's a longer Mass. And then from the 9 to midnight, the Blessed Sacrament is exposed and you can go and sit with our Lord. And then at midnight, that's the thing, is like, I try personally, this is just my own little devotion, is I try to stay there till midnight because I want to watch the priest take the Blessed Sacrament. And again, like you said, he does not take it back into the tabernacle. He takes it into, I guess, a different tabernacle. And again, depending on how the church is created, it's in the rectory, it's in a different room, whatever. And then the light, the tabernacle is extinguished and the tabernacle door is open because it's to remind us that the Lord's no longer there. And we go home, and it's a great time to think about like what is happening at this moment. If you haven't watched The Passion of the Christ, a lot of times that's when my kids were littler, or I mean, I have adult kids. So, you know, when they were teenagers, because it is a gruesome, it's a 3-hour movie. It is very gruesome. So I don't recommend it to small children, but high schoolers, middle schoolers would be good. But a lot of times that's what we would do also, is we would watch that on Holy Thursday. If I wasn't able to stay the whole time, or in the afternoon, because we homeschooled, we'd watch that just to kind of prepare ourselves, like what is happening.
And again, if you have to, I mean, as a nurse, I can't always get out of my shift. So if you have to work, you have to work. But now, you know, if you're finding out about it, so a goal for next year could be to attend. But also, and if you can't stay till midnight, or you can't go back just because of, I don't know, maybe car situations or children situations, or, you know, that's okay. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that, Vicki, you had asked me earlier about this is like, why aren't we taught this? And one of the things that, this is just me, this is just my own personal understanding and my own personal experience of how I'm learning these things, is that when you go, the liturgy is the teacher, which is why we go to liturgy. And so Vicki was like, well, why don't people, you know, why don't they announce this? But they actually do. Typically, if you've gone to Palm Sunday, which was this past Sunday, and you take in the bulletin, they'll have a list of all of the activities during Holy Week. And so that is what I want to just encourage you. Like, if you've never experienced anything during Holy Week, I want to encourage you to experience one thing. Like, one of the parishes that I attend, they had a healing service on Tuesday morning after morning mass. Now, not all parishes do that, but that is a really beautiful thing.
Well, and I guess you can also tie that into year round. You know, this is, I mean, Easter's, I also was talking to Jane, why we don't celebrate Easter more, at least as big as Christmas.
Yes.
And then we wouldn't have to buy lots of gifts for people.
Yes.
As well.
Well, but it's no, true. But you're right.
No, but also, you know, the bulletin is a good place just to find happenings in your church. And sometimes, again, the Catholic Church can seem kind of reserved, or maybe whatever women's group is, you walk in and there's four ladies that are 73 and you don't fit in that age group. I encourage you to stay anyway. It can be intimidating. And then the next time you go, bring a friend that's your age and go on a buddy team. And that's just the way you can get in. And the way, if there does need to be change, maybe the ladies that are 73 are not your jam. And if they're not, this is a way to work within your community, within your Catholic community, with your priest, and make more outlets. Because, you know, my youngest daughter was recently confirmed, and Archbishop just, his homily was just amazing. And he told these young people, he said, you guys are living in a day and age where your culture is counter to your faith, and it's your job. He hoped the Holy Spirit comes down on you, and you go out to the world. You have to go out to the world and show the Holy Spirit, the fire in you. People have to see that. And why would our young people do that if they don't see that in their parents doing that? So I tend to see, you know, this is why I like Catholic coaching too, because I start to feel guilty, like, oh gosh, why didn't I know this? Why should I have taught them this? Or, oh my goodness, but God loves us right where we're at. So if this is your first time hearing of this, great. But then a way to honor Jesus is to continue. So after Easter is over and we're moving through the rest of the liturgical year, go pick an event once a week or once a month, even out of your bulletin, and start there.
Yes. And you know what? One of the things I love, Vicki, about that is that, yeah, we have a tendency to judge ourselves, condemn ourselves, criticize ourselves. And yet God is a God of second chances. And that's one of the things that it's so beautiful, is the fact that the matter of, like, if we think about it, like, Jesus actually washed Judas's feet.
It's mind-blowing.
I mean, it is. It really is mind-blowing that he washed his feet. So he loved him to the end. You know, he loved Peter. He knew. And so it's just a really, again, Holy Thursday is just, it's such a beautiful liturgy. It really is. The music is profound. And like I said, depending on the parish, the altar of repose, I mean, sometimes one of the reasons why I always like to do the seven churches is just to go see all the different churches and the way they honor our Lord and decorate the altar and things. I mean, it's just so profound. And it really also brings this unity. But again, like you said, I'm very blessed. I have tons and tons of churches. I mean, I think we counted like 10 churches within a 5-mile radius. I mean, it's just crazy. But then after the repose at midnight, what happens? Now we're into Good Friday. And again, this is Good Friday, right? This is the day that changed the world. My husband shares.
And our fate.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, so remember, Good Friday, you know, according to the church laws, it is a day of abstinence, which means we don't eat meat. And it's also a day of fasting. Now, remember, though, fasting, you have to be at least 14 and you're 59 and a half. So technically, I don't have to fast, although I still do fast. Again, the church requirements are to fast is one large meal and two smaller meals, not to equal one large meal. So it's not like you're, you know, drinking water. I mean, I do know people, I know women who like just drink black tea that day, you know, different ways, right? But it is, again, it's reminding us of what our Lord went through. And so there's also another service there. Now, remember, this is a key. This is a little fun fact to know and tell about the Catholic Church. Good Friday is the only day in the whole year that there is no Mass. I'm going to say that again. Good Friday is the only day in the whole year that there is no sacrifice of the Mass. We do receive Holy Communion, but again, remember, It was all of those hosts that were consecrated the night before in Holy Thursday. Typically, depending again, looking at your bulletin, depending on the way your parish community is and where you live, but typically the service will be at 3. And it is a reenactment of the Passion, similar to Palm Sunday. We'll read the Passion and same thing, you know, we are the crowd and da 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 da. And then there's the veneration of the cross, which is beautiful. There's a whole song with the sign of the cross. I don't remember the whole thing off the top of my head, but we go up and we venerate the cross, we kiss the cross, we touch the cross, and then there's Holy Communion. And it's a beautiful, beautiful service. In the old days, my husband would tell that he remembers that from 12 to 3, because again, that is the time when our Lord was actually hung on the cross. From 12 noon is when they placed the nails in his hands and his feet and raised the cross. And then he hung there from 12 until 3. And then at 3 o'clock is when he breathed his last, right? And so then after Good Friday services, it's really kind of a time of quietness. And Holy Saturday is quiet because, again, if we think about the life of Christ, what happened, we need to know the details. We need to know the details because we need to know the story to pass it on to our family and our friends. This is how the faith was passed on for 300 years before the Catholic Church put the Bible together. And so after he died, they took him down quickly and they placed him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And then they were going to go back. But Saturday was Sabbath. So it's a very quiet day. It's a day of rest. And then we go into Easter Vigil, which is in the evening. And again, I just can't exhort you. If you haven't been to Easter Vigil, it's a very long service. It can be long. It's typically about 2 hours, if not longer. But this is a time, this is the celebration that anyone who is becoming Catholic comes into the church. And those adults who haven't been confirmed or haven't made their Holy Communion and getting confirmed, it's just a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. And there's a lot to that that I'm not even going to go into. But we call it the Easter Triduum, the 3 days, because it's like literally it's all one day. Again, it's this foundation and the crux of our faith. And if we don't understand what was happening on Holy Thursday evening, on Good Friday, on Holy Saturday, Saturday evening, you know, like going into the morning, the cross doesn't make sense. You know, St. Paul says that the cross, the crucifix, is scandalous to the Jews and foolish to the Gentiles. Because what kind of God would willingly choose to come down as a human being, live a life of a normal human being, and choose to die for those who have been his enemies?
Yeah, I find, you know, this is always very emotional for me.
Yeah, it can be. My kids are always laughing at me on Holy Thursday because I'm crying at the washing of the feet, but then I'm so happy at the consecration. And, you know, I just get so excited. I mean, I think this is a little side note, but I think your daughter thought I was really weird after the confirmation. I was blessed to come to the confirmation ceremony. And I was just so, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm dancing around and stuff. And she's kind of looking at me like, come on, you just got the Holy Spirit. Like you got all the gifts. But that is part of like the liturgy. That's kind of what, not to say that our faith should be based on our emotions, because that's not. No. But
what I was trying to say before I was a little overcome is that I think if you haven't experienced this and then you choose to look into this, and if you're even listening to this podcast and you sit down and you put some thought to this, I mean, you walk through what Jesus went through for us. We cannot earn that. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And I just think it's good to have friends of the same faith that you can like lean on and talk to and just say, you know, wow, this, you know, can you believe this? It's so sad and thrillingly happy at the same time. So I think this is a way you can make your Catholic friendships tighter, make your, you know, your connections to the church tighter, because you don't have to like everybody in your church. I mean, you know, humans, we don't like everybody, But you do, you know, you do respect everybody and all the Catholics in the world. We're of the same faith and we are all brothers and sisters. So it's just a neat opportunity that we're all experiencing at the same time. And so, again, if you can only go to Holy Thursday or just Good Friday or just the vigil, I mean, that's okay. Do what you can. But again, next year, maybe you can set this time apart.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And really, you shouldn't be the same person that you were last year.
Right.
Right. Because you should be walking with the Lord, hopefully. And this is one of the reasons why I started this podcast was, first of all, I wanted to remind women the beauty of their cycle, the gift of their womanhood. But I also wanted to give you the opportunity to grow in your own faith. And yeah, suffering, you know, suffering stinks. We don't like to suffer as humans. And we try to avoid as much suffering. And yet, this is the time when we focus on what Christ willfully chose to suffer for our good. And that is the difference, I think, between us and all of our brothers and sisters in Christian faiths, is that we focus on this redemptive suffering. And this is the opportunity to really go deep into Holy Thursday and Good Friday. And again, like Vicky said, if you can't, you know, I mean, I remember one year when my husband was deployed and I had five kids, I couldn't take them all to Holy Thursday. I just couldn't. And we had to miss it. And I was really, you know, and then that year, my older kids went up Mount Crystal Ray, which is a tradition in our area. And I couldn't go with the little ones and I had to stay. And so I worked in the garden because I was like, what can I do on Good Friday to commemorate? Like, how do we go interior? So those are just some thoughts as we go into this Triduum, even if that's the only thing that you've learned is like, oh, I learned a new word of the liturgy. This is the time of the Triduum. And now I know what my priest is talking about when I talk about that. It's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. And then Holy Saturday is going like into Easter season. And we'll talk about that as a different thing. So today, what I want to do is instead of giving you the blessing of Ephesians, I want to give you the prayer that is prayed in the evening of Holy Thursday for those who do not participate in the Lord's Supper. Okay. So, name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, for your glory and for our salvation, you appointed Jesus Christ, eternal high priest. May the people he gained for you by his blood come to share in the power of his cross and resurrection by celebrating his memorial in this Eucharist, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and we will talk to you next week when we celebrate Easter. Hey, before you go, I have a question to ask you. Have you joined our Facebook group page, Cycles and Sanctity? Well, we want you to go ahead and go over to Facebook and just look up Cycles and Sanctity and come on and join our group, and we can continue having this conversation over there.